Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Time to bring in Mike Gross. Mike, how have you been?
Well, I'm shopping for yacht insurance, so I'm glad to hear what I just heard.
Perfect. Just don't use it on the Susquehanna.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see too much of the Susquehanna, frankly, in this time of year.
A message from this station and the Ad Council. All right. So, Mike, you watch two games. What do you think so far?
I think a lot of the things that we thought might be issues have not been resolved, but they have not been glaring problems so far. So I think that's good. And the interesting dynamic throughout this season, and certainly through the first two games, have been how you work the freshmen in and sort of build for the future while at the same time trying to win now. And I'm not sure those things are mutually exclusive, given how potentially explosive and talented some of these freshmen are.
So let's start with one of them, and that's Nicholas Singleton. He and Katron Allen, obviously, but Singleton's the one that shined with 179 yards. What have those two guys, and based on what happened Saturday, Singleton in particular, meant to that running game?
I think the sheer speed, and, you know, I saw Singleton's from not too far from here, so I saw him play in high school, and I would not have guessed, based on what I saw, that he was, you know, like crazy fast by the standards of his position, but I did the story on running back group for the Town and Gown magazine, the preview magazine, and I remember Juwan Sider telling me, you know, look out, man, this guy can really motor, and he's turned out to be right. I mean, everything you have to preface everything with, okay, it was Ohio, they played Ohio,
yes,
but to turn the corner on a sweep and just take it to the house against any college football team is pretty impressive. Obviously, doing it against Auburn will be a different animal. But what he can do in the big play sense is, I mean, James Franklin said it after the game, it has to change the way defensive coordinators prepare and play call against you.
He had four runs because they had those chips. He had four runs in the spring where he was better than 21 miles an hour. Which is
that's motoring.
Okay. That is moving. Sean Clifford played really well on Saturday. In fact, now they have been in three end of the half or end of game modes, and he has scored a touchdown in all of them. But the world wants to talk about.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Right. That's why I do this job, Mike. I can fill in some of those blanks. But everyone wants to talk about number 15, Drew Aller. Beaver Stadium got their first real look at Drew Aller on Saturday. What kind of impression do you make on you?
Well, he's such a big kid, and the what the football geeks call the arm talent is so obvious with this guy. I thought of, this is a crazy comparison, but you know who I thought of? Nolan Ryan. A guy who throws so hard, so easily. The arm talent is remarkable. One of the things that I saw, and I was my carpool buddy Dave Jones and I were disagreeing a little bit about this on the way home, but I thought his mobility, at least within the pocket, was pretty good. I thought he moved around pretty well, and he might be a little bit of... not a weapon in the running game, but useful in the running game, that he's such a big kid that people are just going to bounce off him. And we saw a little bit of that. And the other thing that stood out, and again, this is something that Franklin pointed out, but it's so true, the incredible poise that this guy has. I mean,
yes.
He really, it feels like he's very comfortable in what would normally be a very uncomfortable environment for an 18-year-old kid.
He moves better. I'm not saying he's a runner. He moves right. better than people think he does. I thought what was important as to what James Franklin did, no matter what, to start the second half, you always want your starters out there in an early game because they have to get used to coming out of a locker room. Like, I'm cold now, you know, I'm going to come out of the locker room. But then after that first series, with the first unit, that's when he put Drew in. Drew worked with the first unit guys. I thought that was an important coaching move.
Yeah, and he said after the game that his original plan was to get him in the second quarter.
Yes.
But I think he hoped they'd be farther ahead than they were, and, and that's why that didn't happen. But having said that, James is normally plays an awful lot of people at every position other than one, and you know what the one is. So I thought it was significant that he got in as early as he did, and I thought that he got to play as long as he did. He didn't play the rest of the game, but he did play, what, four or five series? I thought that was significant, and it'll be very interesting to see how the two, how Clifford and Aller are used on Saturday.
I know how the first guy's going to be used. He's going to play.
Yeah. So. That's right. And you know, we were talking about this after the game. A couple of the scribes. People understandably are very, very determined to be impressed with Aller. But if Aller had for some reason started the game Saturday and had played exactly the way Sean Clifford did, nobody'd be saying, well, let's go to the bullpen. You know, I mean, everybody would have been, wow, that was an awesome performance. Well, it was a pretty good performance. Just because Sean Clifford was the guy doesn't make it any less impressive. And he's still... maybe some people would dispute, obviously, but I think he clearly is their best option to start and to win now.
All right, so now we get to the defensive side. You know, a lot of down linemen played. He's been playing a lot of secondary guys to begin with. What do you think of the Penn State defense through, obviously, a very small sample size of two games?
I thought more could be taken from the first game than the second, and I was impressed with a lot of what they did. I'll tell you who I'm impressed with: Manny Diaz. I thought he had a great game against Purdue, reacting to what Jeff Brohm was trying to do early in the game. I thought it was about they're going to complete some throws. He gets rid of the ball so quickly. Let's just make sure we get their receivers on the ground and keep them in front of us. They did a great job of that. And then when Purdue started to make some adjustments, then they went to a very aggressive approach and brought pressure from a lot of different places. If you remember, Johnny Dixon on a corner blitz that got to the quarterback. And I thought that was Chop Robinson with a big pressure right near the end. I thought the way Diaz handled that was very good. And the bottom line is, as good as Purdue's passing game is, and as good as their quarterback is, he threw it 60 times and completed 50% for less than 6 yards per attempt. I mean, you have to regard that as a success. This is going to be a much different animal, obviously, next week. I don't need to tell you that. Auburn's going to run the ball and is very capable of running it. And so maybe now P.J. Mustipher's role gets bigger, and maybe Adisa Isaac's role gets bigger, and maybe the linebackers as a group, maybe their role comes into sharper focus. But so far, so good, I would say.
There has been some talk, and it's only just talk. I mean, there's always a lot of speculation about what future schedules will look like with the conferences expanding.
Yeah,
and somebody threw out the idea of 10 games in a conference. Well, if you play 10 games in a conference, you're going to play a couple of games like this one, this past weekend. You're not going to be playing the intersectional games anymore if that happens, because you need 7 home games. It's just a numbers thing, right?
Yep.
What do you think that would mean for college football if you lost a game on the schedule, like a Notre Dame game in the opener with Ohio State, a Penn State Auburn game? Texas, Alabama was a non-conference game. What do you think that would do for college football to lose some of those intersectional games if this were to come to pass?
I hope that doesn't come to pass, and for that exact reason that you said. The Penn State's schedule with three non-conference games, well, two of them are going to be like last week, and one of them is going to be an intersectional game. That's how that's always going to be, for the reason that you just outlined, the seven home game imperative. We're going to miss that. I mean, I had a Saturday off, and I really enjoyed watching that Ohio State-Notre Dame game. I mean, sometimes you have to just think about what football fans like and what they're going to enjoy, and it seems like I'm with you. I would hate to see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you because, I mean, fans want to see games with juice and stakes.
That Oregon-Georgia game, although it was not a competitive football game, I mean, it allowed you went wow at Georgia with all they lost from that defense last year, and to come up with such a dominant performance against a team that we think is pretty good. Those games just count more. They just have more of a factor in the regular season and in your assessment of teams, and it's more information in addition to being more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. Any thoughts at all on Auburn? Look, I mean, I've looked at the first two games, and I don't know. I mean, I know Bigsby's good. We already knew that. Hall, 29 on defense, is a great player. I'm not sure how much I know about them.
Yeah, and Hall, I think Hall had 15 tackles last week or something like that.
He is an NFL player. He's got great speed.
No doubt, yeah. No. Last year they played Akron and Alabama State the first 2 weeks and destroyed both. It was like 120-10 or something like that. These two performances, I don't think you can say have been all that impressive. I mean, they were losing at halftime to San Jose State. That game was pretty even statistically and in every other way. So far, I think you'd have to say they struggled. So far, I think based on the two games, Penn State has been the more impressive team, and they are, a three-point favorite. I'm a little surprised, given the schedule, that Auburn hasn't looked a little better. I don't know what to make of that. I think I'm going to... One of my projects for this week is to look back in the history of that sort of thing, where teams sort of struggle against somebody you expect them to blow out, and then kind of step onto the big stage, which is what I mean, which is what I'm saying by playing Penn State.
Right. Oh, no.
But so far they haven't been great. I think that's fair to say.
Are you going?
I am going.
Good. I'm going to guess you've never been there.
I've never been there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here. That's one of those places I've never been to. I don't know.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is you couldn't get a hotel anywhere near the place for less than like $600. So a lot of us are going to be flying into Atlanta and then driving partway. And I don't know how much time we'll actually get to spend in Auburn, Alabama. But we'll see. But I am looking forward to the trip. I've never been there, and pretty fired up about it. It's one of those college football venues. Yep.
Yeah, you're staying what, in Atlanta?
No, I'm not. I'm going a little farther south. Is it Columbus, Georgia?
Columbus, yeah. Columbus, Georgia is right over the line. It's like 30 miles away.
Yeah. I thought that would be a really comfortable drive to and from the actual game. But, yeah, it's a little bit of a – it's a drive of an hour plus, I think, from Atlanta to
Hours. It's 2 hours. Yeah, from Atlanta.
Oh, my.
Yeah, two hours. Yeah. Because I know because the football team is not staying at Auburn, so there's really no place to stay. No, so
it's not a great trip from the sort of logistics of travel standpoint. But again, it's one of those places. I'm glad I'm going to get to go there.
Same thing. I'm anxious to see the place. No getting around it.
Yeah.
Mike, it is always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I really appreciate you and the insight.
I enjoyed it, Steve, as always. I'll see you in Alabama, I guess.
You bet. Thanks, Mike.
All righty. See you later.
Mike Rose.